VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
Ellen reminded me that it was Saturday morning and that it's 10 o'clock. So I figured I might as well sit down and say, welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And contrary to popular opinion, the sky did not fall this week, so we're going ahead with the show. How's that?
Well, even if it had, we'd still do the show.
Well, you have a point there. Anyway, everybody, welcome back to the usual and customary group out there. And if you're hearing us for the first time, stick around for an hour. We'll talk about some fun things that we want to talk about. But all you have to do is pick up the phone and dial 904-222-TALK. That's 222-8255. And then we'll put you to the head of the line and we'll talk about what you want to talk about. It has to be financially oriented or interesting. Preferably both.
That would be good criteria to use.
Yeah, it would. Well, not even that important. Interesting is just fine, too. But anyway, we're going to stick to financial things as we always do until we have a reason not to. And Lord, are there a lot of financial things to discuss all of a sudden because we had a little tremor in the force this week. Now, I'd like to know how many of you out there thought that this was the beginning of the end. You were wrong. At least I think you were. I'll let you know Monday.
Friday looked like you were wrong. It was pretty calm.
Yeah. I think a lot of things that went on this week were a little overreactionary, and one of them that I'll bet hardly anybody there knows, because the brilliant minds in the mass media have convinced everybody that when Donald Trump says anything, it's wrong, but when he says something firm, it can even crash markets. Well, if you look at the daily charts, you'll find that the stock market started down 3 hours before Trump said anything. Those are not related subjects. And besides, he just said what everybody was thinking and what other presidents have said before him, including the last one. Don't worry about Korea. This is not going to happen, people.
Yeah, it's really not. No. It's crazy to think that it would.
He may be a nut job. He may be a saber rattler. He may be a lot of things. But he's alive. And he knows that would end in minutes.
Yeah.
And that's not going to happen to an egomaniac.
All the guy wants is a seat at the big kids' table.
He does.
He wants to be recognized. He wants diplomatic relations open with other countries. He wants to be recognized as a legitimate world power, so to speak.
And like most dictatorial personalities, he has a strange way of going at it.
Yeah, well, it works. Usually we acquiesce to people who do this type of behavior and end up giving them money and or other types of support. So I can't really say I blame him. Once the precedent's been set, why not go that route?
But there's a speed bump in this precedent. And that speed bump is the election of November 8th. And it's not going to be the just push everybody out of the way rhetoric and the bully pulpit of his that is going to create the situation over there. That said, if you're really worried about a nuke coming out of North Korea, sleep tight tonight.
Yeah,
that is the very last thing that I worry about ever. Now, let's take that one gazillionth of a percentage chance and say it did happen. All right, North Korea ceases to be a problem from about an hour after that on. For decades.
Yeah, that's true.
It's going to take that long to clean up the rubble. So don't worry about it. This is just the usual international stuff that goes on. China, we should all thank. All they said was, if he attacks you and you go after him, we'll just turn our backs and do
whatever. But you can't attack him first, which we weren't going to do anyway.
We don't do that.
So.
We don't have a department of offense. We have a department of defense.
True.
We're not the aggressors in the world. They say that to irritate us, but they don't mean it. So if you're thinking that this is going to be the cause of some massive market action and that it's up to you to save yourself by doing crazy things, I will tell you in a week how wrong you were. You know, I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying I'm 100% right all the time. What I'm saying is if you react to little short-term events like this, you're doing a very poor job of long-term planning.
If you make a major action, if you want to do something minor like buy some more precious metal, there's really nothing wrong with that.
A lot of people agreed with you this week, apparently.
Yeah, it had a really nice week. So
it really did.
That type of thing is okay. Making a major knee-jerk reaction, you will probably end up losing out.
Okay, so all that background said, what actually happened this week?
Well, remember way back when we were talking about Dow 22,000? I think it was last week.
I think it was.
Yeah, well, that came and went just as quickly as it came.
Yeah, we hadn't had many crosses on the 22,000.
We hadn't. Did we have any? Oh, yeah, one intraday.
We did have
one. I think, yeah.
By the way, I don't know if anybody knows this, but when it crossed 1,000 the first time was 1966. And when it crossed 1,000 to stay, it was the early 80s.
Wow, really?
Yeah, that's how many times we had a crossing.
That's
back
crazy.
don't think this is unusual.
Yeah, the week really wasn't as bad as it felt. I think we were coming off a 12 consecutive days, I think, of all-time highs on the Dow. Which,
Nine?
I thought it was 12.
Nine.
Or 12 was the previous record then.
Exactly.
Okay. So, yeah, we were trying to get to break a record, but it was only 9. And so we just aren't used to seeing any red at all. And I have some red on my sheet this morning. It's unusual. The Dow really only dropped 234 points, which is 1% at this market level. So not nearly as bad of a week as it felt like. Now, the NASDAQ had a little bit worse week. It dropped 1.5%, but that's typical. It was up 20% this year or higher. And so to see it fall 1.5, I'll take that all day.
Absolutely.
If we close the year out right now, I'd be happy. And
I think you're going to close out the year higher than where we are.
Not be surprised either. So the S&P was kind of right in between those. It dropped 35 points or 1.4%. So what happens next? Well, as I mentioned, Friday was actually a really calm day. The markets didn't move much. They were all up, all three indexes. So that's usually a good sign going into the weekend, because when people are really fearful, you're going to sell off into a weekend. They won't hold things over, because you never know what's going to happen. I think that Friday being as calm as it was a really positive sign for next week.
Also, the swings are being exacerbated a little bit by the fact that people are still on vacation. They're starting to funnel back towards school time again. So there's no volume out there to really speak of.
True. And the U.S. wasn't the only market in turmoil this week. International markets have been pretty hot this year, but this week India fell over 3%, China 2.8%, and Canada 2.5%. So our market wasn't even off that bad compared to some of our international peers. Earnings season is drawing to a close, and the unofficial close happens on Thursday with Walmart. That's a really important earnings report this year, because retail has been struggling so much, and the 24-hour news cycle has been saying that, I mean, they've pretty much already dug the grave and put the marker in on retail stores. So if Walmart can manage to have a decent quarter, that would kind of flip the narrative, and I think it would be a really positive sign for this coming quarter.
Yeah, there's actually a lot going on out there right now. This is an interesting time of year because we're transitioning from this sort of down period of time we call summer into that period of time where all of a sudden people realize there isn't that much time left between now and Christmas. I saw a little bit of inventory build up this week, which was considered negative. I consider it positive, because the only reason to build inventory right now is you're anticipating a good time for the rest of the year. There is really quite a bit more to talk about in the data and the market that we'll cover right after the break, and I will have a trivia question that also relates to this week as soon as we get back. So don't go anywhere. And I want to talk a little bit about what's going on in the job market, too, because it's really very interesting. Things are exciting out there. So stick around. We'll see you on the other side. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. This is Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And this segment, we have the trivia question sponsored by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. And that, of course, is a 904 number. Adam mentioned that we just came off a nine-day winning streak on the Dow with new new records. We've also had, in this very year, a 12-day streak and an eight-day streak. How many times has that happened between 2007 and 2017, having 8 days or more winners on the Dow? That is the question today. All right, back to some things about this week's market. Adam came up with a very interesting analysis. You hear him talk once in a while about the term jolts, and the jolts did something interesting. And if you're thinking about it, as he obviously was, for reasons that I hope pertain to somebody besides him, this conclusion I found, I guess, remarkably sane, and you might want to pay attention to it.
Yeah. So there's an old saying that quitters never win and winners never quit. And that's true in so many parts of our life. It's something that I try and teach my kids all the time. And I think that in career-wise, 50 years ago, it was the same. It was exactly true. You don't quit your job. You stay with the same company for 30 years, and they really took care of you. They would give you a nice pension. They'd take care of your retirement, take care of your health care. They just, that's how things worked.
If you were loyal, winners out of you.
Exactly. If you were loyal to them, they would be loyal to you. And my grandmother was a perfect example. She retired from a phone company up in Wisconsin with a nice pension. She paid $10 per month for her health care for her entire retirement. And they even gave her free long distance, which for those of you that are old enough, you can remember that used to be a real benefit.
It did indeed.
But things have really changed now. And there, if you can name a company that you would trust your entire life to, we would disagree about it because there isn't a single one. They are out for their own bottom line, and they should be. They're responsible to their shareholders, and it's not like it used to be anymore. You don't spend 30 years with one company, and there's no trust between employers and employees. And that's okay because you can game that both ways. So if you're an employee, there are lots of ways for you to take advantage of the new environment. But a lot of people haven't figured that out yet, and that's what I want to talk about today. If you haven't noticed, the economy is doing really well right now. The JOLTS survey that my dad mentioned earlier, it's called the Job Openings and Labor Turnover Survey. It was released this week, and it kind of blew my mind. It's really, really good.
Blew the statisticians' minds, too, according to what I read.
So in July of 2009, job openings hit a low of right around 2 million. Since then, job openings have increased at a fairly dramatic rate. They passed pre-recession levels in March of 2014 and have continued to rise to all-time highs. This month, the report showed that there are 6.2 million open jobs in the United States, an increase of over 300% since 2009. I think it's pretty safe to say that companies need people right now. Job openings have actually been rising much faster than hires have. And that's never happened in the history of the JOLTS survey until 2 years ago.
Plus, the record time to fill a job is happening every month.
Yep. And guess what else hasn't risen as fast as job openings, though?
Wages, salaries.
That is correct. Compensation. Yeah. If you look at the median wages for the American household for the last 30 years, according to the Fed, they appear to have been rising from about $24,000 a year to around $56,000 per year. This seems like a pretty big gain, right? I mean, basically, you at least 200% increase or so. But no, when you adjust for inflation, the median wage is higher than it was 30 years ago, but much lower than it was in 1999. That was the peak. So for the last 20 years, real wages have been stagnant. So Americans are not getting any wealthier in an inflation-adjusted environment. So every year, we work harder to be able to afford less.
And that's reported inflation.
Exactly.
Yeah, you think about that for a while.
But why have wages not moved? So in the last decade, I think it's pretty obvious, and it ties directly back to the Great Recession. In 2008, people were thankful just to have a job, no matter what that job was. That feeling is really tough to get rid of, and for the last 8 years or so, we've been in a slow, painful recovery. Basically, we have had an eight-year hangover from the big party we had back in 2006 and 2007. The point of all this is that we've had our coffee, we've taken a couple ibuprofen and drank some Gatorade, and now it's time to get out there and get over the hangover and quit our jobs.
Yeah, 10, 11, it's been 10 and a half years since the recovery in the market.
I say 8 because the recession lasted a couple years. So
yeah, it did. The market anticipated it coming back. So yeah,
really 2009 was the trough of the market, and things started to improve. But really, I don't think it got a whole lot better till 2011.
No, and strangely, in the business cycle, that amount of time might take you through one and into another one on normal terms. But this one's been so glacial in its movement that it's still alive. Now it's accelerating.
So, yeah, back to what I was saying, you need to quit your job. That's what I'm telling you. You've had 10 years of receiving.
Sounds like strange advice.
I know it does, especially coming from us. It's not something I would normally say, but no. You've had 10 years of maybe 1% to 3% raises, and you're working 40 plus hours a week. Why don't you go out and find out what else is out there? Because you might be pleasantly surprised. You might be able to get 10 to 20% more than what you're currently making by going to another company. And sure, there are switching costs, and there's the, you know, sticking with the devil you know versus the devil you don't. But honestly, it's time for us to be we need to be making more money than what we've made over the last 10 years. And sticking with the same company is not going to do it.
If you're not moving up, maybe you should be moving out.
Exactly. Workers really have all the power right now, but they just haven't realized it. And we need to get that quit rate up. If you look at the JOLTS quit rate, it has been going up. It bottomed out in 2009 around 1.3 million quits per month. Since then, it has taken 8 years to get back up to the pre-recession level of 2.2 million, but it's still way below the 2.6 million level seen in 2001. So we just now are getting back to a healthy economy quit rate, and we need to quit our jobs more. I know it seems like strange advice, but
really
get out there and find out what's available in your field, especially if you're in healthcare.
Strange times call for strange solutions.
Exactly.
All right, lines are open. 222-TALK. Give us a call. I want to do a little confirming thing on what Adam was just saying too. If you look at the National Federation of Independent Business, does a survey every month about what the biggest problems that business people are facing, and it has been taxes on top for quite some time. Well, hey, Mitch, you listening? We can do something about that one, hopefully. But guess what moved down to number 3 since Trump was elected?
Government red tape.
Bingo. What took its place?
Personnel problems.
Quality of labor.
Yeah.
Now, if you want a confirming item on whether or not you have a better job waiting for you out there that you can just go get, how about the second biggest problem cited by employers today is the quality of the labor that they're able to attract. So if you're any good, and if you think you're upwardly mobile, it might be the only solution instead of waiting around. Good things don't always happen to someone who waits.
No, they usually actually, I don't like that phrase. It's usually good things happen to people to make them happen.
Yes, and another quick word before we beat all these horses to death too badly. I want to talk a little bit about the economic indicators, which once again came in at a loss.
Yeah, they were okay.
If you want to report something negative, it's very easy to do.
For instance, the initial jobless claims, they were predicted at 240, came in at 244.
Yeah. We've had 13 weeks under 250 or something like that? It's been an astounding run. 250 is the unheard of.
Yeah.
People said 300,000 is the absolute limit. When you get under 300,000, look out, because that means there's a recession coming. Well, that's not what it means at all. We went all the way down under 250, and it's staying there. That means people aren't doing exactly what you say, for one thing. They're not leaving
jobs. That would indicate getting fired, not quitting.
Yeah, that's true. But you fire your bad employees when you think there are good ones around.
Exactly.
Not until. You're not going to replace somebody who's doing the job. So I think that one's ridiculous. And on a related note, the continuing jobless claims, which is a fairly large number, it's been holding up very large for a long time, dropped by another 9,000. Now, that can happen two ways. These long-term unemployed people can find jobs, or they can drop off and go into the never-never land. But we know that those dropouts from the market have been shrinking. that's in the data lately. So I say, instead of being a net zero on these two numbers that they report, I'd say it was generally good news. So I believe there are people out there with a vested interest in making the economic numbers as poor as they can portray them. You can also do it by saying, well, I'm expecting this whopping number, and we didn't quite get it. Because it's not based on what it was last month or the month before or a year ago today. It's based on what they think it ought to be. So don't listen too much to any of this stuff. You're far better off ignoring the fake news and listening to this show.
The only report I really was disappointed by was the CPI and PPI. They both missed their estimates on the wrong side. So.
Yeah, inflation numbers reported by a government are, let's see, what's the best thing I could say? Dubious?
Well, they have too much incentive to keep it low. So
they do. Think about it. What would the Treasury be doing right now if we reported the true rate of inflation as measured by the Chapwood Index or your own personal experience? If you had to give that kind of raises to all the union contracts, all the Social Security recipients, you would have to have the interest and principal adjustments on tips be skyrocketing. It would cost the Treasury so much to admit the truth. And this is one of the reasons you got to go out and make more money, too. They're going to do this for the rest of your life. They're going to understate what it costs you to live day to day. So, anyway, got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about afterwards. Lines are open, 222-TALK. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Lee Financial Hour. Van Lee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And this segment is brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Things are growing like weeds out there, folks. Call Troy at 662-9794. The trivia question is still out there. We've had eight consecutive day plus winning streaks on the Dow in this year so far. How many times has that happened between 07, which is the beginning of the current recovery, until the beginning of this year?
Now, they don't have to be new all-time highs, just winning streaks.
Yeah, winning streaks. Okay. Consecutive days of winning.
Right? Okay.
Although the new high numbers are really interesting, but there have been a couple of years that just blew the tops off them. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Great. How are you?
I've got a question for you on my 401k.
Shoot.
I turned 59 this year. So at 59 and a half, I can basically draw some money out of my 401k.
If you have to.
What I was thinking about doing is borrowing enough out to get debt-free and be able to buy a new house that I'm going to be buying. Hmm. My mother-in-law moved in with us, so I've got a double wide that's about 20 years old, so I want to get a modular home up, a brand new modular home. So what I was thinking about doing was taking money out of my 401k to pay all my bills off and be able to do what I want to do.
All right.
I know there's taxes involved in doing that. Is there any? I think it's 20% tax I've got to pay. Is there anything else I would have to pay?
Well, you
or
said
is not even a good idea.
You mentioned the word loan. Does your 401k have a loan provision?
I've got a loan out on my 401k that pays out this year. I'm putting 16% in, and my company puts 4%.
Okay.
So I was thinking pay my bills off, increase my 401k another 5% this year, and then 2% every year until I retire, maybe in the next 8 to 10 years.
You say you do have a current loan outstanding from the 401k?
Yes, sir. I only owe $1,000 left on it. Okay. It'll be paid out in November.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Now, usually you can only take one. I'd rather not have you withdraw that money and pay taxes on is where I'm going here.
Okay.
So if you pay off one loan, you should be eligible to get another one. How much is in your 401k now? Is it over 100,000?
Roughly, right. Oh, yeah.
Okay. The usual limits are 50% up to $50,000, or up to $100,000, or a $50,000 loan.
Yeah, that's the max.
How much money do you think you need to get debt-free and to get started on buying the new place?
Well, I was thinking $80,000. That would cover everything I own. My wife's car, my property that I own now, that would pay it off. That would basically pay all my bills off.
Okay, are you going to sell the property you own now if you buy a new house?
I'm sorry?
Are you going to sell the existing property once you've moved?
No, they're going to take my double wide as a trade-in, and then I was going to put another 10 to 15% down on it and put the modular home in the place where my mobile home is.
Okay, so your address is staying the same.
Right. My property would be paid off. I would just have a new home to live in.
Okay, good. Well, I wouldn't take the whole 80 as a withdrawal.
Well, and even if you can't just take 80, you would have to take over $100,000
to pay
the taxes. Yeah, so it'd be a substantial withdrawal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So what I would do in sequence, if it's allowable, and it sounds like it is from everything you've told me, I'd pay off the existing loan. I'd arrange a new loan of $50,000, and I'd withdraw about, it'll be between $35,000 and $40,000 on top of that, because that's the taxable part then. So you'll have your 30, so 50 and 30 will give you your 80, and the taxes you pay on the $30,000, about 20%, so it'd cost you about another $4,000 or $5,000.
Well, there is no 20%, right? It would either be 15 or 25,
right, yeah. Exactly. So worst case, probably, you take out between $35,000 and $40,000 that is a withdrawal, and you have to wait until you're 59 and a half. When's your birthday,
It was just in June, so I've got till January to even consider this. I was just trying to see what you guys thought was my best option.
Okay, I like that a lot. A lot of people think the year you turn 59 and a half, everything's fine, but it's not. It's the day you turn 59 mm-hmm. and a half. So what you're looking at is this year, in 2017, you repay your loan.
Right.
In 2018, you take out a withdrawal of $35,000 to $40,000. You simultaneously take out a $50,000 loan and start repaying it just like you did the old loan. And you have minimized your tax impact to get a pretty substantial job done. And you haven't totally robbed your future, and especially since you got another 10 years to work or so. Oh, okay. I like that plan a lot.
And then keep upgrading my 401k every year as I go.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because I was thinking being debt-free, I could put more. The least I'd like to put in is 2%, but I'd like to go more than that every year just to get back what I've taken out.
Right. But you got to also factor in your loan payments on it, because you don't want to default on the loan payments. That would make that loan taxable to you, and then you've defeated your whole purpose.
And also, just remember that if you leave that job, you have to pay back that loan when you leave. So. If it's not a job that you're going to stick with a while, this plan may not be for you.
Well, I've been there 26 years.
Okay.
Doesn't sound like you're going too far.
Gotcha.
Perfect. So don't listen to Adam's last piece about quitting your job.
Okay? Yeah, not in your case.
I think it's a great plan.
I didn't really want to do anything until I talked to y'all anyway, and it gives me some more time to do some things. I've got this year to kind of go through and figure things out. So.
Perfect.
But I wanted to run that by you and see what you guys thought.
Yeah,
I like it.
The other thing to consider, too, is that interest rates are still historically very low. Mm-hmm. So you may want to compare this to getting a loan on the other property if you can, because there's really nothing like paying 4% on a loan these days. It's still really, really cheap.
Pretty hard to do, though, in that type of housing.
That's true. They're probably higher, but
yeah.
Still, it's, you know, I hate robbing 401ks. In your situation, mm-hmm. I can make an exception for it because of what you're trying to accomplish. But I would also look at other avenues if they are available.
Mm-hmm. I'd do a little more homework.
I don't, since I really don't have to do anything till like January, can I call y'all back?
Yeah,
of course.
Even though I listen to y'all every week, can I call you back and see if anything has changed and maybe get some better advice?
Absolutely.
You know, see if anything's changed.
We're here every week, as you know. Give us a call anytime.
Y'all every week.
It's a great question.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, Mike. Have a good day.
Have a good weekend.
Dickie.
Hey, how are we doing, guys?
We're doing great.
I heard a rumor about this particular Dickie.
you did, anyway.
Well, I did. I heard something about a house that you no longer own.
Yeah, it's sold. How about that? We're packing up as you speak and doing a little of the fix-up around the house, which is something else. But I'm just calling more or less just to give you guys a shout-out and thank you for all the help and the assistance. You know, going through retirement is no joke, and understanding all the requirements and everything that you have to do. Just so appreciate you guys, and you know, and just for all the other listeners out there, I'm giving you an advertisement, but
this was not solicited, by the way.
That's why we're being so quiet, Dickie.
Yeah, but the it's just amazing how you spoon fed us and held our hands and walked us through it. And like I said, you guys are a class act, and working with us has always been enjoyable. And like I said, I can call you anytime and get a phone call back immediately. And it really makes a big difference just because of the how paramount retiring is and everything that you have to do for it. So thanks, guys.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate it, Dickie.
And for everybody listening, obviously, Dickie and I are pretty well acquainted, have been most of our lives. But the big thing was we started this years ago. Dickie came in and we started this whole planning process years and years before it happened. And that is the takeaway from this whole discussion.
And it's changed a lot over time, too.
It did.
But they came up with a great plan, and they made it work.
And executed it well, and the big one just happened. I'm so proud of you and so happy for you. I just heard it last night.
We agree.
Thanks,
hey,
Dickie.
Well, thank you.
See you soon.
Much love, guys. Bye.
Thank you. It's so much fun when you've worked on something for a long time, and then it kind of comes together. And as Adam said, we had a lot of course changes and veering off here and there, and a lot of things in life that are very sentimental. And sometimes you have to decide whether your sentiment's going to outweigh your practical side. And then your kids do different things, and that changes. So it's a work in progress, but it worked. All right, stay tuned. We'll take a little break. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And a reminder that our trivia question is still out there. We've had 3, 8 or longer consecutive gaining days on the Dow. 3 times this year, how many times in the prior 9 years during this recovery? And, I wanted to follow up on that and having a senior moment, so I'll move on.
Okay.
Nothing if not flexible. You know, Scotty McCreery, a lot of people know him from American Idol or just being country music fans, is a new song a couple months ago called 5 More Minutes. And we were listening to it one day, and I got thinking about it a little bit because so many times you said, man, if we had 5 more minutes. If you remember, I lost my mom in December, and I've talked about that enough. Not going to do that anymore, but there are some times when it comes up in a conversation, you'd like to know some things. I wish I had just 5 more minutes. Well, it's probably not a surprise that it would happen with us because it's happened with Sarah's mom for years and years and years now. But most of you are probably in a similar situation with your parents that pretty much pervades everything. You've heard me say many times that about 80% of parents wish kids were more involved in their finances to help them out. And about 80% of kids would like to be more involved helping the parents out. And nobody will fire the first bullet, so to speak. It's a very difficult thing to bring up. I did it years and years ago with mom when I got into this business. And the sigh of relief was palpable. She didn't know what to do. We were kind of stymied by the whole thing. And we did a lot of work with her. And when it came that time, we were pretty well on top of things. But there were things we didn't know, and that's why once in a while, I just had five more minutes. Do you know if your parents have automatic things deducted from their checking accounts? I didn't know she had her dental insurance taken out automatically. I didn't know she had her lawn care taken out automatically. Do you know how hard it is to stop something like that when you're not the person who started it?
It's hard enough when you are the person who started it.
You try to call the dental insurance company in Texas sometime and get a person, and that challenge will go unmet. I promise you, it's just ridiculous. And one thing I want to remind people is you do not inherit your parents' debts. On the other hand, most of us being the kind of people we are, you know if your parents contracted things, spent money right before they died, and it was a legitimate expense, you probably would like to pay it. So first thing is, where do you get the money? Well, I had arranged that with Mom earlier, and that if you're the wrong kind of person, that's kind of scary. Having a joint account with your parents can lead to, shall we say, the loss of significant amounts of money if you do not fully trust the person on the other end. Adam and I witness a whole bunch of problems with the way people do things with their parents and with their kids. And trust, you'd like to think the family name would just be there and the trust would be there with it, but be very, very careful. But then when the time comes, you got to do something about it. Don't leave yourself in the lurch by having problems hanging out there as we did, although they were not numerous and they were quite small. But had I known about it, we could have taken care of that a long time before. Then there were things like going through the old picture albums. And I don't know how any person, even factoring in her mother and her dad's mother and all that, I don't know how any person could possibly accumulate so many photo albums in one lifetime, much less how you can tuck them all into one small house everywhere you look. So feeling a little bit guilty about all this stuff, we start thumbing through the pictures, and lo and behold, we found one, had no idea who it was. But the smile was identical to the smile of my, not yours, but my other grandson, to the point where we just stopped and did a double take on it. So my mother was good about a lot of organizational things, including putting names on pictures. Guess which one she didn't label?
That one.
That one. We have no clue. Absolutely no clue who it was. I'd know in 5 minutes. But go through that stuff. We used to sit down with her, and we used to sit down with her mother, even when she was in her 90s. And we had a lot of big old family pictures, and we'd go through them and get them talking. And sometimes you just sit there and listen. You learn a lot, but it takes some time. And it's something you don't always think about while you still have a chance. So a few things that I wish I had asked. Mom, you were a teenager in World War II, something I never really thought about. What was it like? Did you have a bad time, good time? Your mother was a single mother long before that was common. How was that? How did she cope? You had but 1 year of college, which was one more than Dad did. So why was it so critical to you that we become educated? Don't know. What gave them that? She was the first managerial level employee at General Telephone Company, which was a small outfit that sold out to Verizon years ago. And when she got her job, she was the first person in the company, first woman, to make $30,000 a year. Not bad back then. This was a long time ago. She was told two things simultaneously. Congratulations, here's your job and your $30,000. That's as high as you can go because you don't have a college degree. What did you do about that? We found out later she was something of a tiger woman. We did not know that, but she pushed very hard to get the glass ceiling broken, I guess. That was kind of cool. There were a lot of other things. In Scotty McCreery's song, he's fishing, and his mom calls him to dinner, and he wasn't quite ready. He said wanted 5 more minutes. In June, I think it was, Adam and I and a bunch of the family went out fishing with some of the kids, deep sea fishing, and I got hold of something out there that was just my two hands and one of the deck hands who's strong, it was more than we could do to even move that fish back an inch. It was unbelievable. Finally, it just snapped the line. And unfortunately, that was about the time we were leaving for a new destination. I would have caught him in 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So, talk to your parents. Don't let those things go by. Something I've been thinking about for a long time. All right, now, how would you like to have one of your local sports heroes get ripped off by a financial advisor? You know, when you think about it, who are the easiest possible targets for a ripoff?
People that come into sudden wealth.
Yep. And usually come from circumstances where income and wealth are, shall we say, subnormal. Very often these people come from very poor areas. All of a sudden, they have money and they have fame. And if they get into the hands of the right people who teach them to think long-term, who protect and grow their money and all those things, then they can do well. Or they could possibly meet Lewis Martin Blazer III from Pittsburgh. So I can only guess what teams they play for. He was fined $2 million for stealing from professional athletes to, yeah, ready for this one, fund movie projects. Anybody out there know about funding movie projects? Somebody will make a lot of money. Won't be you. Doesn't work that way. So, he didn't admit that he was running a Ponzi scheme, but in 2016, he made an unauthorized withdrawal out of several clients' accounts and tried to fund a couple of movies. He produced false documents to hide the misconduct. Now, what's Steve's first rule about all you people who are clients of advisors? Third-party website, you can log in and see your money, right? It's got to be somebody you know, a Schwab, a TD. It doesn't matter who, as long as it's somebody you know. If you can't go in independently and see your money, you might as well not count on your money because there's a good chance it isn't going to be there. So, let's see, the $500,000 he took from one, and after the guy expressly said no, so he gave him his money back. Where'd he get the money?
The next guy.
Somebody else's.
Yeah, of course.
Absolutely.
Ponzi scheme. The NFL is actually addressing this issue.
Are they?
Yeah, they recently at least attempted to pass a rule. I think it's a rule now. Their advisors have to have 8 years of experience and be a CFP or a CFA.
Well, it's about time.
Yeah, I agree. At least there's some kind of, they realize it's a problem and they are trying to address it.
I only bring these things up, and I do it frequently, as you know, because it can be avoided. And it can be avoided as easily as just the couple things Adam was talking about. Know who you're dealing with and remember that critical thing. You don't write out checks to your advisor. You write them out to your custodian. And when they're there, you go to the custodian's website so you can see it every day. And if you violate that, it's not shame on me. It's shame on you. All right, this has been quick. Had a great time. Come back next week. We'll see you same time. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.